In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our epistle reading from Romans, the 12th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm losing my patience. You've probably said that at some point in your life. You're on the golf course, you slice or hook another ball into the sand or into the water. I'm losing my patience. You tell your children, your grandchildren, your niece, your nephew to clean up the mess, and they don't do it. I'm losing my patience. He gets stuck in traffic on I-29 north to Fargo. Oh, you don't like I-29? How about 94? You don't like 94? How about 45th or 13th or 40th? They're all under construction, guys. You wait for minutes and minutes. I'm losing my patience. Another flight is delayed, and I'm just going to pick some random airport off the top of my head, not that I've ever been there. O'Hare. Again, I'm losing my patience. You get asked the same question over and over, and it's like nails on a chalkboard. I'm losing my patience. Patience is kind of a funny thing when you think about it. Actually, when you lose your patience, that means you're tempted to do one of two things. Either you're tempted to give up, throw up your hands, and say, whatever, I'm done. Just do what you want to do anyway, and walk away. Or you're tempted to take control of the situation and rein everything in and impose your will. Yeah? Well, guess what? We're going to do it my way, because I said so. And that doesn't have to be for children, of course. That can be for anything, right? And so you're tempted to do any one of these two things. Losing your patience is rather easy. So it's rather timely, I think, that St. Paul speaks to the Roman church, Roman Christians, and to us about patience. St. Paul says patience is actually this. It is a gift of God. It's not something that you have in and of yourselves. You and I are but poor, miserable sinners. It's easy for a poor, miserable sinner to lose their patience. But patience, Paul says, patience is a gift of God, and patience is renewed by hearing the word of the Lord and relying on his strength, especially in times of suffering and times of sorrow and tribulation. And Paul knows a thing or two about suffering. He knows how easy it is to lose your patience in suffering. And he's not talking about I-29, 94, children, airports, and anything else you want to say. Paul is speaking to Christians in Rome who are suffering at the hands of their greater enemies, sin and death and the devil, being expressed even in Roman persecution. The temptation here, it's not foreign to you and I. Temptation is something that we all face, and when faced with these enemies, sin, death, and the devil, they have two goals: to take the comfort of God's word away from you, and ultimately to drag you away from Jesus. Now, I don't think I have to tell you this. You figured it out already. If you haven't, you will. Being a Christian is actually difficult. If you're comfortable in being a Christian, if you're sailing through life and things don't matter, you're doing it wrong. Here's what I mean. It's difficult to speak God's word of truth about a whole host of issues, and you've seen all those issues, I've been with you before, to a world that doesn't care, a world that has a different thought, ideology about men and women, about marriage, about gender, about all these issues that we've talked about before, about creation, evolution, all these things, right? We've talked about this before. That's hard to speak God's word of truth. It is hard to do this. It is hard to fight against your sins daily, not to give up and give in to them. If you just are kind of the person that operates on, whatever pops in my head, it doesn't really matter, I don't give a thought about God, that's what I mean by you're doing it wrong. We fear, love, and trust in God above all things. It's actually hard to fight against your deepest desires and your most prevalent sins. It's hard to face suffering in this world at a hospital bed, and it's hard to bury your loved one. That's suffering, that's tribulation, and that's when Paul encourages you to patience. Because it is easy to give up and walk away from God, or it is easy to think that you are in control and that if I just do X, Y, Z, then all of this will change. Paul wants you to see that it's actually God who gives you that patience, that he renews your patience even in suffering and tribulation. So, the first one, right? The temptation to walk away. You have to remain constant in prayer. I know some of your favorite hymns. And to some, you really love this hymn. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We must remain constant and vigilant in prayer. When faced with suffering, when we are tempted to give up, you are tempted not to fight, you are tempted to lay down your weapons. The shield of the Spirit, or the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, all of Paul's battle weapons and armor of God in Ephesians 5. You're tempted to lay it down when you face suffering and say it's too much. I can't do it. I can't go through it anymore. No one cares. No one sees. No one hears me. I'm alone in all of this suffering. And so you just walk away. This temptation, it actually could have overcome Jeremiah in his ministry. God told Jeremiah that he would be with him and that, yes, there would be building and planting, but not before there would be demolishing and destruction and bloodshed and war. So here's Jeremiah preaching the word of God to the people, and you know what they do? They hate him for it. They go after him to lock him in prison, and that's what you get in chapter 15. Jeremiah's words in 15 are a crowning moment of his ministry. Jeremiah is known in chapter 6 of his book in this way. Chapter 6, verse 10, refers to Jeremiah as a laughing stock. How would you like your ministry to be known like that as a pastor? You're the laughing stock. Jeremiah finds no comfort right now in 15 with God's word. He has preached it, and he has been facing all kinds of persecution. So Jeremiah, he could turn his back on God and walk away. You see the complaint? You see the accusation against God in 15:18? It's so bad that Jeremiah can even question God's earlier promises and say, "My pain, O God, it is unending. And my wounds, they are grievous and they are incurable. You appear to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails." Quite remarkably, when Jeremiah is tempted to lose patience, did you notice what he absolutely doesn't do in 15? He doesn't throw up his hands and walk away in God, away from God. He actually prays that prayer of lament. And God responds. God actually responds in this way. You get this in the second half of 15. "I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They shall attack you, but I will tell you this, they will never overwhelm you. Because I am your God, and I will fight for you." So Jeremiah endures, patiently in prayer, casting all his sorrows upon the Lord. That's Jeremiah. What about you? What about your suffering? What about your tribulation? The ridicule and mocking that you endure from speaking God's word of truth? What about the shame that you feel, that deep shame from sins that you have committed in your past, that no matter how many times you confess them, they still seem to haunt you and never go away, and you wish you could just redo all that situation all over again, but you can't. So what about the cancer? What about the fibromyalgia? What about the dementia? What about the heart failure? What about the kidney failure? What about the loss of mobility? What about a frail and aging, weak body? And there is no one in this room who's getting a day younger, guys. Our bodies are withering and they are decaying. And if you're over 35, it's a real thing. You start feeling it then, and it gets worse the older you get. What about the loss of your job? What about the death of your mother, your father, your grandmother and father? What about the death of your child or friend? "I have been with you so long and I have seen it. I have seen your suffering. I know your tribulation. I know that in that tribulation, it is easy to lose your patience, to throw up your hands and say, God, where are you? Do you love me? Do you care? Are you listening to me? Are you going to help me? Heal me? Restore me? My pain is unending, O God. My wounds are grievous and they are incurable. You seem to me right now as a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails. It's easy to be tempted to walk away from God. But know this, God has heard your prayers, your laments, like he heard Jeremiah's. Dear saints of the living God, God in Christ has actually given you an answer. He has sent his only Son into the flesh to bear your sin and be your Savior. Not to stand at a distance and say, huh, you're going through that, seems to be you. Sorry, have a good day. He doesn't walk away from you. He enters into your suffering. He joins you in your suffering as the suffering servant. He loves you unto death, even death upon the cross. Christ has died and Christ is risen. And that means that you too will arise. More on that in a minute. But first, it means that he has claimed you as his own. He is with you. He has marked you with that cross on your forehead and on your heart. He has said to you, you are mine and I love you. You are a son of God and I am with you always to the end of the age. St. Paul in Romans 8 even tells you that God the Father has put his Spirit into you, the Spirit of his Son, the Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father, the Spirit that when things are so difficult, when your head is in your hand and you don't even know what to pray for, that Spirit intercedes for you. He intercedes for you to the Father on your behalf. So don't give up and don't walk away in tribulation. All of this, St. Paul says, in 2 Corinthians 1. All of this was more than I can bear. 2 Corinthians 1, 8. But all of this did this one thing for me. It made me rely even more on God who raises me from the dead. Trust in the mercy of God. Be patient and cast your anxieties upon him in prayer, because he actually cares for you, and you know that. I suppose the other challenge, so that's some of us, right? But that's not always all of us. Some of us have the other challenge, to take control. We lose our patience and we want to impose our will on a situation. That's what Peter does, essentially, in our gospel reading. Jesus says, just last week, who do people say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. And then Jesus starts talking to the disciples and Peter about what it means to be the Christ, to suffer, to be delivered in the hands of lawless men, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, be killed and on the third day be raised. And what does Peter do? He opposes his will. He takes Jesus aside and actually tries to correct him. Bad idea. Very bad idea. Far be it from you, Lord. No, I'm not going to let that happen. None of us are going to let that happen. Far be it for you. You will never, this will never happen to you. And then Jesus speaks some of those most shocking words. The one who tried to prevent him to go from the cross, originally at his temptation, Satan, is now being heard. His voice is being heard in the disciples' own mouth. Don't go to the cross. You don't need to do that. So Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You guys don't have the things of God in mind, disciples. You have the things of man. They try to take control of the situation and save Jesus' life. But Jesus' life never needs saving. He doesn't need to come down from the cross. He doesn't need to be prevented even from going to the cross. He needs to go to the cross to lay down his life in love for the disciples and for you and for me. He needs to endure that pain and sorrow and suffering and death. And so he opens their minds by the simple word, if you want to be my disciple, whoever would be my disciple must do this. They must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Let go of your control. Let go of your pride. Let go of your plans. Let go of your purpose. Let go of your passions. Let go of your possessions. All that the world says it is to be successful and build a life here in time. Stop trying to take control. For which of you, by doing any of that, by trying to take control, by being anxious about your life, can add a single span of 1 hour to it? Isn't that what we try to do with diet and exercise all the time? Control how long we live and what we're going to do. Our Lord says, if you can't even do such a small thing as that, small, are you kidding me? That's a great effort on our part. If you can't do such a small thing as that, then why are you anxious about all of this? Why are you trying to take control? You can't. You can't control the outcome of every situation. You are not God. Our temptation then, when faced with suffering, is to deny the cross, take up ourself, and follow us. That's the exact opposite of what Jesus says. Today, like every day before this, Jesus calls you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. He calls you to die, first and foremost, to say no to your wants and desires. No, I'm not going to skip church. No. Even when I'm here, I'm not going to just flip through my bulletin. I'm not going to play some Fruit Ninja. I'm not just going to read this thing and not participate or hear the sermon. No, I'm actually not going to get distracted by all that's going on around me. I'm going to discipline my mind and I'm going to hear the word of the Lord because that's what God has given me to do. No, no, I am not going to look at pornography. No, I'm not going to have premarital sex or live together before we're married or form some emotional or physical bond, have an affair in any way that works out with someone who is not my spouse. No, I refuse. No, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to squander it by even mindlessly scrolling a bunch of Facebook or websites, getting lost in that. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to be a father and a mother that God has given me to do. I'm going to be that grandfather, grandmother, that aunt or uncle. I'm not going to neglect people for the sake of my blinky lights. No, I'm not going to lash out at my boss, my teacher, my pastor, my parents, my government, those who are in authority. No, I am not going to hold the sin of someone against them so that when I deal with them, I walk away from them. No, I'm going to forgive. And you know what that looks like? Denying yourself? It looks like death. It's painful because we don't want to do it. We want to do whatever we want to do. And Jesus calls you not to deny the cross and take up yourself and follow you, but to not deny yourself, take up this cross and die with him. Following him, even in suffering, dying. You know that? You will live, right? You know that? You will live. Isn't this what Jesus says to Martha? That death is not the end. Even though you die, yet shall you live. So you will follow Jesus out of that tomb. Out of that tomb, you will follow him to the Father's right hand. He will wipe every tear from your eye. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more sin. There will be no more death or trial or tribulation. Because, alleluia, Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. And not sin and not death and not the devil can change that fact. He is Lord over all of creation. And Jesus will guide you to springs of living water. And he will shelter you with his presence. So even in suffering, you are patient. Because you know where the outcome of your faith, you know where it leads, the salvation of your body and soul. Instead of giving up, instead of taking control, we trust in God's mercy. We cast our anxieties upon him, knowing he will help us, he will strengthen us, he will uphold us with his crucified, risen, and reigning righteous right hand. So that you, dear Christian, even in the face of suffering, like those who have gone before you in the faith, may stand firmly, even in suffering, being patient and constant in prayer and longing for the resurrection to eternal life that is yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.